Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick. And apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
Alright, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened yesterday and where the hell we are today?
Well, yesterday started with Ezekiel being fed a scroll by God.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm. And God said, eat it.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And then God decided that he was going to turn Ezekiel's forehead into flint.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ezekiel spent some time flying around in a crazy four-headed angel carriage or something to go to different places.
With wheels that have eyes all the way down.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then God helped lift Ezekiel up in the plains, and he saw God in the plains. And then...
Go here, go there.
Yeah. And
stand
then,
up, sit down.
And then God bound Ezekiel up in his house, like in
for
chains
seven
or something,
days.
For 7 days or
yeah.
something.
Tied him up so he couldn't move.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy shit is going on, right? Like, Ezekiel is really just, it's like...
It's nothing else that
you should
that
take
we've
drugs
read.
To read this. Like, this is like, I mean, this is like a trip. This is something's happening.
This is not like any of the books that we've read before.
Not at all.
It's fun, but in a why is this in the Bible kind of way.
Yeah, totally. I don't quite understand what is going on. I mean, I do kind of understand what's going on.
Yeah.
But holy shit, what is going on?
Yeah.
So, that being said, that was Ezekiel chapter 3.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that today we're getting into...
Ezekiel chapter 4.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, so we are jumping into Easy Kyle, chapter 4.
Ezekiel.
It's Easy Kyle.
Oh, my God.
Look, yesterday when I said it, several people said that they enjoyed it.
I know.
And by several people, I mean one person said that they enjoyed it.
Right, yeah.
So that's all I needed. Easy Kyle, chapter 4. And just to kind of catch us up on where we were, God had been telling him that he's going to have some tough road to hoe?
Yeah.
Ahead of him.
Sure.
So he's about to get going. Okay.
All right. Yeah.
I closed my window accidentally.
No,
okay. Here I am. Sorry, nothing.
There you are.
Here I am. Okay. So God is talking. Ready?
I'm ready.
Now, son of man, you know, you mere human.
Mere human. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Know your place. Take a block of clay and put it in front of you and draw the city of Jerusalem on it. Make a map, you know?
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
He's setting him up. He's about to tell him, you're going to do some shit with that map that I'm telling you
to do. Is he going to have him smash it?
No.
Oh.
He's going to set up a game board.
Oh.
Okay?
Oh.
Then
it's like Monopoly, but Jerusalem. Is this like Jerusalem Monopoly?
Yes. So draw the city on this clay thing and then lay siege to it. Okay?
Okay.
Erect siege works against it. Build a ramp up to it. Set up camps against it and put battering rams around it. Then take an iron pan, place it as an iron wall between you and the city, and turn your face toward it. It will be under siege, and you shall besiege it. This will be a sign to the people of Israel. Okay?
Okay.
So
this piece of clay that you're building.
Let me interrupt the broadcast here to give you a little bit of notes.
What are we? We're doing arts and crafts time now with God?
Yes, indeed we are.
Okay.
So following God's command, Ezekiel performs a sign act. Okay. This is, he's about to remember when Jeremiah had to wear the yoke and it was as a sign?
Right.
So this is what he's having Ezekiel act out.
Okay.
He makes his prophets do these physical shows, these displays of here's a thing that's going to happen, and this is, you know, kind of what it'll look like.
Right.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
So it's a symbolic representation of the siege of Jerusalem, and we're going to see the resulting famine that will come.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So Ezekiel enacts the siege of Jerusalem by first drawing a map on a clay tablet or brick.
Okay.
And then building a model of the siege apparatus, like God said, encircling the model city. And finally sets up an iron plate as a wall between the city and himself, facing the city to start the siege of it.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure.
So when he says block of clay, it's also in other translations referred to as a tablet, a tile, or a brick.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So that's where we're at. Okay?
Got it. Yeah.
All right. So to continue on, God is still speaking, okay?
Uh-huh.
And he says, then lie on your left side and put the sin of the people of Israel upon yourself.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll explain what that means momentarily.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
You are to bear their sin for the number of days you lie on your side. Again, I'll explain that in a minute. Okay.
Sure. Sure.
I have assigned you the same number of days as the years of their sin. So for every day that you're lying there, that represents 1 year that they were fuckers.
Now, if I'm going to base this on how much God doesn't like the Israelites and what they do, that guy's going to be laying there for quite a while.
He does. He is and he does. That is correct.
Okay.
I have assigned you the same number of days as the years of their sin. So for 390 days.
Holy shit.
That's over a year. You will bear the sin of the people of Israel. Now, hang on before you think it's done, because that's just Israel.
Okay? Okay.
After you have finished this, lie down again, this time on your right side, and bear the sin of the people of Judah. I have assigned you 40 days, a day for each year.
Oh, my God.
Right? Turn your face toward the siege of Jerusalem and with bared arm prophesy against her. I will tie you up with ropes so that you cannot turn from one side to the other until you have finished the days of your siege.
Is there going
to
be somebody, like, feeding him? Like, what's going to happen?
We'll get there in a minute.
Is like, God going to be, like, floating manna into his mouth or something?
These are great questions, which are kind of but not really answered. Okay.
All right.
So, you're asking great questions.
I'm just, like, what is going... Like, first he's doing arts and crafts with a clay block, and mm-hmm. Now he's going to, like, bind him up for over a year.
Yes.
A year and a half.
Yes.
Okay.
So let's talk about those 390 years and then those 40 years.
Yeah,
okay?
Right.
So many different explanations have been given for these 390 years. Like, where'd you pull that number from, right?
Sure. Yeah.
It is thought to signify the 390 years of pre-siege punishment for Israel in the land. Okay.
Sure.
And that they pulled that from Leviticus chapter 26.
And I'm assuming we're like Israel, we're talking about the other tribes that weren't really mm-hmm. part of Judah, like
yes.
the whole bit in like Kings and Chronicles
and
where that part was separate, right?
Yes. That's okay. Exactly what I'm about to get to.
Got it.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah. You are right on track, buddy.
All right.
Okay. When you add the years of the reigns of the kings of Judah from Rehoboam to Zedekiah, as recorded in 1st and 2nd Kings, you have a total of 394 years. Now, since during three of the years of his reign, Rehoboam walked with God, according to 2nd Chronicles,
yeah.
you end up with a number very close to Ezekiel's 390 years. 391.
See. Okay.
You know?
All right.
So... I guess he's cutting him slack by one day.
Got it, got it.
So,
yeah.
However, the Greek text, the Septuagint,
yeah.
has 190 years.
Okay.
So,
that's significantly different.
That is very different. And yeah. I don't know what the math is, like why.
Maybe somebody later went back and like actually did the math on the Kings and Chronicles and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we need to change this up.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because it was originally written in Hebrew,
right.
not Greek.
Sure.
So. Yeah, that would be my thing.
Okay.
Now, the 40 days signifies the 40 years of post-siege punishment for Judah in exile, and that comes from Numbers chapter 14.
See, I think he should have got more time for that because God didn't like them prior to that. That's why he was starting to punish them in the first place. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But whatever, whatever. I guess he didn't officially punish them until the siege, right?
But Israel split it off earlier than Judah. So regardless of what the numbers are,
yeah.
Israel should get the larger number, numbers are.
No, I agree with that. I mean, based on the type of calculations we're making here
yeah.
with regard to lying on your side for right. a year and a half or
exactly.
whatever the fuck we're doing.
Exactly. So. Okay, so we're going to read further now. But
okay.
I felt like I had to explain what... those years were because in my notes, I was like, hang on.
Right.
And I had to like go back and, you know, see what that was about.
Sure.
So, okay. So continuing on, God is talking to Ezekiel again.
Okay. All right.
Take wheat and barley, beans and lentils, millet and spelt, put them in a storage jar and use them to make bread for yourself. You are to eat it during the 390 days that you lie on your side.
Motherfucker's going to eat nothing but bread?
Yes.
Okay.
Weigh out 20 shekels of food to eat each day and eat it at set times. Also measure out a sixth of a hin of water and drink it at set times.
Okay, look. So, okay, you're talking about a year and a half.
Yes.
Okay. 400 and some days worth of lying on your side, 430 mm-hmm. days of lying on your side,
mm-hmm.
right? Bound by mm-hmm. God, apparently.
Yes.
You cannot get up from there.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you storing? Like, what are you doing with all this food? Where is it?
Hang on.
How is that happening?
We're
I don't understand
there.
How this is going to work.
We're going to get there.
Are we?
We are.
Okay.
Kind of.
Does God, like, push it to him or something?
No, hang on.
Okay.
Hang on.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So to continue... Eat the food as you would a loaf of barley bread. Bake it in the sight of the people using human excrement for fuel.
Oh, God.
The Lord said, in this way, the people of Israel will eat defiled food among the nations where I will drive them. Okay, so
okay.
let's go to the notes a minute.
Sure,
okay?
Sure.
So Ezekiel acts out the role of Jerusalem citizens eating meager rations of food to symbolize famine, even baking cakes over dung to emphasize the severity of what's to come.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but let's talk about what the fuck is millet and spelt?
Well, millet is like a seed or like a...
Yeah, well, he named a whole bunch of things like beans and barley and all that shit. Sure. And then he said millet and spelt. Those were considered inferior kinds of wheat.
Oh, okay.
To make it last longer and to dole out the nutrients further.
I see.
Okay.
Okay.
Kind of like putting sawdust in your food.
Ugh.
You know, okay. Yeah, I've never done that, but you know, that's a thing when people don't have a lot of choices to make the food go further.
Sure.
Okay. Sure. So, okay, let's talk about what the fuck is 20 shekels of food? Like, what even is that, right?
Yeah.
He said, measure that out.
Sure.
20 shekels is about 8 ounces, which is the ration of bread per person per day, which is to show the great scarcity of bread. So it's supposed to be like a bite or two of bread.
It's a representation of like the rations that the Israelites were dealing with or whatever?
That they're going to have.
Oh, that they're going to have.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
So he's like, you're basically going to be acting this out in front of them. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so let's talk about what is a sixth part of a hin. Sixth. You know, I hate that word. I cannot say it. It's about 2/3 of a quart, which is the daily water ration that is going to symbolize their restricted access to water.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So he's going to have barely any water and only like a bite or two of bread every day
for a year and a half. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
what's going to happen to his, you know, crap? Like when he takes a shit, what's going to happen?
We'll get there in a minute.
We are?
Well, okay. So remember he said, and bake it over human excrement, right?
Oh, so he's going to use his shit to cook.
To make the fire. Yeah. But we're going to talk more about that in a minute. For now, let's just talk about the food itself.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So scholars and apologists say that obviously he had to be able to move because he's been ordered to prepare this food and measure out these items for himself. So it's very likely that he only slept there at night on his side.
But it said he was bound. Like it said he was bound.
During those time periods, yes.
Okay.
So he either did that at night, like he slept outdoors, or he had set hours during the day that he had to perform this, and then he would, you know, go back into his house because he was doing this outside in front of everybody.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Because the whole point is that they see him because he's symbolizing to the people that this is what you guys are going to go through.
Yeah.
And so he has to be doing it in front of them. So he's probably either outside his house or like in the town square, what the fuck ever.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
So he's either doing it at night, which I don't think is right because I don't think as many people would have seen him. More likely he did it during the day for set hours and then he would go back home and, you know, prepare his measurements.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So remember he was told to use human excrement. That would have been his poop.
Yeah.
As fuel for the fire to bake the bread, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So, okay. So then we're going back to reading now and Ezekiel's talking now. Okay.
Sure.
Then Ezekiel said, not so, sovereign Lord. I have never defiled myself. From my youth until now, I have never eaten anything found dead or torn by wild animals. No impure meat has ever entered my mouth. So he's like, the fuck? I'm not doing that. That's
right.
Gross.
No, it sounds crazy.
You're ordering me to break your rules that have been like for centuries, things that we have followed. I don't think that's right. Do you want to rephrase, God?
But if you are truly a prophet and God is truly talking to you, do you really like this is one of those things where I questioned in the past because earlier on in the Bible, if you questioned God, you got fucked.
Smote as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's not a thing you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to wonder about these prophets that are like questioning
like
God.
Yesterday, three times in a row, you fell on your fucking face. You were so shocked at the sight of him. And today you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
You let this fucker put a scroll down your goddamn throat.
Right?
I mean,
scroll or something.
Something. Yeah.
He told you to eat something. Yeah. So, I'm just telling you what it says. Okay?
Sure.
So I agree with you.
Yeah.
So then God says, very well, I will let you bake your bread over cow dung instead of human excrement.
Okay.
So he didn't, you know, entirely say no poop. He was just like, fine. I won't make you use human poop, which would be part of the defilement.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
He then said to me, son of man, you know, ye a mere fucking human.
Right, yeah.
I am about to cut off the food supply in Jerusalem. The people will eat rationed food in anxiety and drink rationed water in despair, for food and water will be scarce. They will be appalled at the sight of each other and will waste away because of their sin. The end.
I mean, we saw that in, I mean, this is technically happening. Like, this is supposed to be a prophecy prior to the Babylonian exile.
Exactly. Right? Well, he is in the early wave of the Babylonian exile before the final wave.
Right, right. But this is prior to the starvation and all that stuff that they described.
Yeah.
I think it was at the end of Jeremiah where we heard some of that.
Correct.
So, but, you know, so I have to believe that this was actually written
after. Right.
And
not a prophecy. It's a backdated fill-in.
Right, yeah. But it's just, it's really... This is really weird.
Yeah.
Like this whole book so far has been really, really fucking weird.
It's been fun though.
It has been fun. But like, I'm questioning the sanity of this person, you know? Like Ezekiel does not seem like a sane human being.
He is not lending legitimacy to this at all.
No. I feel like this he must have been like the drug outcast. Like he was like, oh, there goes Ezekiel. Man, he's weird.
Yeah.
he's on something, man. I don't know what it is.
Like, no wonder when Jeremiah finally came around later, they were like, no, fuck this. We've had enough of you fucking prophets. Y'all are full of shit, like, literally.
Right, yeah. But so, no, but Jeremiah would have been separate, though. Jeremiah was over in Jerusalem. This guy was over in Babylon, right?
That's true.
So, I mean, they wouldn't have been necessarily...
Except that if Jeremiah was a secret double agent for Babylon,
he
might have come up and talked with Ezekiel.
Sure.
Their paths might have crossed.
I'm sure that their paths probably did cross. But I think this guy is just like... I mean, this is some really, really nutty stuff happening.
No, I agree.
And the being bound for a year and a half thing, like if this was truly something that had happened, like that's just, I can't even imagine being a person witnessing this thing happen. Like, what is wrong with this guy?
Well, remember, was it Isaiah that had to walk around naked? But then they were like, but he wasn't really naked. He was just in his sackcloth undies.
Right. But that was out in the desert and he was alone. You know, like, at least that's the impression I got from that one.
I thought he had to walk around naked in town.
No, it was in the desert.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was in the desert.
I don't remember.
So,
Well, let me tell you about fire a little bit.
Okay, sure.
Before we close out.
Yeah,
okay. So, barley cakes were often baked on stones, and that's coming straight from 1 Kings chapter 19. Heated with fire using a fuel of animal dung, so that's not unusual.
Okay.
Often mixed with straw. Dried animal dung was used as fuel in the East and still is in some places today.
Sure.
And it was not regarded as ritually unclean.
Right.
So that's why when God relented, he was like, okay.
He's not going to make him break his laws.
Cause
he's like, I'm godly. I don't want to break your laws.
Yeah. I don't want to be ungodly.
Which I can approve godness. I guess I can appreciate that given that this is supposedly a godly, quote unquote, godly man. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
if he's trying to show the people, you guys need to get right with God, breaking God's rule to display God's rule doesn't exactly lend him any credibility. Like, why would they listen to him? They could easily point to that and be like, you're not clean. Why the fuck would we listen to you?
But I am going to say this real quick, because, you know, there's a lot of talk about how God has, like, he's unquestionably right about everything, right? He is the ultimate authority. You shall not question God's judgment, right?
Yeah.
And yet.
Yet.
He not only questioned God's judgment, but God changed his mind.
God relented.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
If you know best... Why would you even contemplate changing your mind?
Right. And here's a good reason why God could have put his foot down and said, no, we are going to do it this way. And here's why. Okay.
Yeah.
Human waste was considered ritually unclean, which we've already talked about,
right,
and had to be buried outside the camp of the Israelites to prevent defilement. And that's straight from Deuteronomy chapter 23.
Sure.
However, during the siege to come,
yeah,
all cattle would be killed for food, so only human excrement would be available at that point for fuel.
Got it.
So, you know, I honestly, I know it's gross and dumb and weird, but to make his point that, no, you're acting this out, this is what's going to be happening, I honestly feel like God should have put his foot down and said no, because
this is the way it's going to be.
Being unclean and being starvacious and cooking shit food over human shit, it's what's going to be.
Right, right.
Like, if you're trying to make the point, make the fucking point.
Right.
So yeah. I feel like that kind of didn't do either of them any favors.
Right, right. And moreover, I feel like the things earlier on in the Bible, like with Moses and things like that, there were some times when Moses questioned God. Mm-hmm. I felt like he had a better leg to stand on than this.
Yes.
You know, but God didn't back down then.
Right.
So
but on this, God's like, meh, okay, you're right.
Right.
And it's like, and really? It's just
the times that he picks to back down and the times he doesn't.
Yeah.
They don't really make any sense.
To smite or not to smite.
Like, right.
Who could fucking know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't get it. You got anything else to add for today? Or
no, that is it for this chapter.
All right. Well, that was Ezekiel chapter 4.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that we'll be back tomorrow with
Ezekiel chapter 5.
And just an FYI before we get on out of here. Mm-hmm. This was done, we did this episode live on Twitch and on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be doing that hypothetically going forward at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on Mondays and Wednesdays from now on, along mm-hmm. with, we're going to be doing our Tuesday lives on the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys couldn't make the Discord, come join us on Twitch. I'll have links in the show notes and or on YouTube. We'll be doing lives on both of those. You can chat in those live chats there to you know, follow along with us. And we'd love to have you at any of those live events.
Mm-hmm.
We personally like Discord best. So, you know,
that's usually where we stick around on Tuesdays. But, and that's the one that we have the time to give to stick around afterwards and chat. Yeah,
for sure, for sure. So, but any of those are a great place to find us. And again, that was Ezekiel chapter 4. And we'll be back tomorrow with Ezekiel chapter 5.
That is correct.
And we'll see you then.
Yep. Bye. Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.